So, someone might ask, what should be done with these jewels of knowledge? Distribute them or keep them secretly? So here Krishna now describes, if we should distribute these jewels, then to whom? Who is qualified? Because he just gave the most confidential knowledge, the most valuable jewel. So now he's protecting it with this verse. Idam te narapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na chashu shushave vacham na cha mam yo vyasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes a kind of sequence of these four items. Nadapaskaya, the person must have controlled senses. If he has uncontrolled senses, don't explain this to him. But even if the person has controlled the senses, if he's nabhaktaya, if he's not a devotee, if he has no faith in bhakti or in the Lord, then still you shouldn't give it to him. Nabhaktaya kadachana, at any time. And even if he's a devotee, if he's not inclined to submissive hearing or serving, then still we shouldn't give it. And even if he is hearing, but if he's envious, abhyasuyati, then this message of the Gita must never be given to such a person at any cost, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura. If a person's envious, it means that they say Krishna has a material form which is temporary and illusory. So what kind of devotee is that, one might ask, and that's a good question. It's not real, or not a real devotee. So someone may show that he's kind of devotee, but if he's envious of Krishna, if he doesn't have faith in Krishna's form, then he's not actually a devotee. Now Prabhupada kind of echoes this idea in the middle of his commentary. Actually, the purpose of the Gita is not understandable to those who are sensuous. Even if one is not sensuous, but is strictly following the disciplines and joining the Vedas, if he is not a devotee, he also cannot understand Krishna. And even when one poses himself as a devotee of Krishna, but is not engaged in Krishna activities, he also cannot understand Krishna. There are many persons who envy Krishna because he has explained in the Gita that he is the supreme and nothing is above him. There are many persons who are envious of Krishna. Such persons should not be told of Bhagavad Gita, for they cannot understand. There is no possibility of faithless persons understanding the Gita and Krishna. Okay, next verse. Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakte shrabhidhasyati atim pai param kritva mama vaishatya sangshayaha. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So we see there's two things being mentioned. So one who's explaining this Gita Shastra to others, first thing is pure devotional service is guaranteed. So first they attain my para bhakti, because Krishna says, bhaktim mai param kritva. And the second result, mamma vaishatya sangshaya, then later they attain me. So first they attain my para bhakti, and then later they attain me. And Prabhupada reiterates in the middle of the commentary, Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I have some notes here. We'll read something from the Bhagavatam, 332, 41. I guess this should have been for the previous verse, but need a magnifying glass. Lord Kapila continued, "This instruction is not meant for the envious, for the agnostics, or for persons who are unclean in their behavior, nor is it for hypocrites or for persons who are proud of material possessions. It is not to be instructed to persons who are too greedy and too attached to family life, nor to persons who are non-devotees and who are envious of the devotees and the personality of Godhead." Listen to this commentary, if I can read it. "Persons who are always planning to do harm to other living entities are not eligible to understand Krishna consciousness and cannot enter into the realm of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Also, there are so-called disciples who become submissive to a spiritual master most artificially with an ulterior motive. They also cannot understand what Krishna consciousness or devotional service is. Persons who, due to being initiated by another sect of religious faith, do not find devotional service as a common platform for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead also cannot understand Krishna consciousness. We have experienced that some students come to join us, but because of being biased in some particular type of faith, they leave our camp and become lost in the wilderness. Actually, Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religious faith. It is a teaching process for understanding the Supreme Lord and our relationship with Him. Anyone can join this movement without prejudice, but unfortunately there are some persons who feel differently. It is better, therefore, not to instruct the science of Krishna consciousness to such persons. Generally, materialistic persons are after some name, fame, and material gain. So, if someone takes to Krishna consciousness for these reasons, he will never be able to understand this philosophy. Such persons take to religious principles as a social decoration. They admit themselves into some cultural institution for the sake of name only, especially in this age. Such persons also cannot understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Even if one is greedy for material possessions, but is too attached to family life, he also cannot understand Krishna consciousness. Superficially, such persons are not very greedy for material possessions, but they are too attached to wife, children, and family improvement. When a person is not contaminated by the above mentioned faults, yet at the ultimate issue is not interested in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or if he is a non-devotee, he also cannot understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada gives some of the finer points of this idea. This is 332:41, and the next verse is 42. Sharadhanaya bhaktaya vinitaya naya shaushuve bhuteshu krittamaitraya shushrubirataya cha. Instruction should be given to the faithful devotee who is respectful to the spiritual master, non-envious, friendly to all kinds of living entities, and eager to render service with faith and sincerity. Okay, so anyway, you can see that topic is there. And it's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, 11:29:31. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. "You should not share this instruction." Oh, I might as well read this. "My dear friend Uddhava, have you now completely understood this transcendental knowledge? Are the confusion and lamentation that arose in your mind now dispelled?" It's very similar. "You should not share this instruction with anyone who is hypocritical, atheistic, or dishonest, or with anyone who will not listen faithfully, who is not a devotee, or who is simply not humble. Some of the same words are used. Naitatraya dambikaya nastikaya shataya cha ashu shu shura bhaktaya durvinitaya diyatam. This knowledge should be taught, however, to one who is free from these bad qualities, who is dedicated to the welfare of the brahmanas, and who is kindly disposed, saintly, and pure. And if common workers and women are found to have devotion for the Supreme Lord, they are also to be accepted as qualified hearers. Shudra Yoshitam Cha. That's 11:29-30-31. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. The one who explains this Gita Shastra to the devotees. So now Krishna explains the results of studying the Gita. The word adhyeshate means studying. Adhyeshate chaya imam dharmyam sambaramavayoho jnana yagyena tenaham ishtasyam iti me mitihi. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. So it seems that the word jnana yagya is not necessarily a term for brahmavadis, but it can be applied for different persons. So again, we have to, Radhisham, we have to look at the context. The word jnana yagya is being used in this verse, talking about the most dear devotee, or those who studied Bhagavad Gita, text 71. Shaddha banana suyascha shrinu yarapi yo naraha sopi mukta shubha lokan prapnu yat punya karmaram. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So hearing, so they may not become devotees, but if they just hear, Prabhupada describes in his commentary, you know, with some faith that Krishna is God or he could be God, like this, if they're not envious, then that you can preach to them. He describes them. In the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita's being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, the Gita is for devotees only. But it so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class, and in that class, not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such persons hear from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once free from all sinful reactions, and after that, attain to the higher planetary system where all righteous persons are situated. Therefore, simply by hearing Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the result of righteous activities. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. Now, Prabhupada describes that here, the word punya lokan means those who are righteous in performing devotional service but who are not pure can attain the planetary system of the Polestar or Dhruva Loka, where Dhruva Maharaj is presiding. He is a great devotee and has a special planet called the Polestar. So this loka is Shubha Loka is referring to Dhruva Loka, and Baladeva Nibhushan mentions Vaikuntha, or also the planet where the devotee, where people go after performing many Ashwamedha yagyas. So we can see, it's being applied that the person is elevated, and it depends on his nishta, right? If he has karma nishta, then he goes to the Ashwamedha planet, wherever that is, maybe Indraloka, Chandraloka. And if he's not taking up pure devotional service, then he may go to Dhruvaloka, if he's just hearing without envy. And someone who's higher, he may go to Vaikuntha, according to Baladeva Vidyabhushan. 72. O son of Pritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Prabhupada writes, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point or the whole Bhagavad Gita if so required. So this was mentioned by Vishwanath and Baladev. And Vishwanath said that this was the Lord's only intention in speaking this shloka. That means he was ready to speak the whole Gita right from the beginning, all over again. And that's why he spoke this verse. Verse 73. So now Arjuna responds after all of this nectar has been poured on him. Yeah, that's good. You can turn that one too. You can turn that light on also. So now Arjuna speaks verse 73. He speaks this to present the actual condition of his heart to Krishna. Arjuna uvacha nashtamoha smritir labdha tat prasadam mayachuta stitosmi kata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, Arjuna replies, what more can I ask? Abandoning all dharmas, I approach you for shelter. I am now free from anxiety, and I have full trust in you. Henceforth, having taken full shelter of you, I will accept your order as my dharma. You are the suitable bestower of shelter. I will no longer follow the dharma of my ashram or the process of jnana yoga and so on. From now on, I will have nothing to do with any of those. Then Krishna says, my dear friend Arjuna, there remains a little work left in the matter of my relieving the earth of her burden, and I want to do this through you. Thus addressed by the Lord, Arjuna took up his Gandiva bow and stood to fight. Haribo. Here's another version of the same thing. What further questions should I ask, Krishna? I've become free from all anxiety because I've given up all types of dharma and I've surrendered unto you. Now I have complete faith in you. From now on, you're my sole refuge. I've completely surrendered my dharma unto you. And I will remain fixed in your order. I will not follow Varnashram Dharma, Jnana Yoga, or any other process from today. I have abandoned them all. Krishna says, my dear friend Arjuna, I still have more to do in order to remove the burden of this earth, and I will accomplish this through you. Arjuna then prepared to fight. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan writes, this is what I used in Gitamata. My illusion is gone. I understand things as they are now, Krishna. My doubts are dispelled. My mind is clear, and I will do whatever you ask. Demigods and humans are free to act, following or not, following their duties. Demigods bless those in the bodily concept of life. Previously I was confused, but that has been removed by hearing your instructions. I now understand that there is the Supreme Lord with a transcendental and beautiful form full of knowledge and bliss. He is the Supreme Controller, the friend of his devotees, and by his will he creates the material world. He is so merciful that he can give his devotees anything, even his own self. This is the knowledge that I've gained, and I am a soul surrendered to you because I've understood you as that Supreme Person. I am a soul surrendered to you now, and I'm ready to assist you in the mission of removing the burden of the world. Saying this, Arjuna took hold of his bow Gandiva and stood up, ready to fight. So similar, Baladeva Vibhushan's commentary. Prabhupada writes, Arjuna represents the jiva here, and since he's playing the role of the Nityabhada jiva, that who's misused his minute independence, now that he's taken up the service of Krishna again, now he's agreed to surrender fully to Krishna without any other considerations, it's like he represents the minute independence of Krishna. And Prabhupada says this here somewhere, maybe in this commentary or in another commentary soon. But he mentions this point a few times. I'm going to skip through the kind of dance through the commentary. The first sentence. The constitutional position of a living entity represented by Arjuna is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. Then, in the middle of this paragraph, the living entity's constitutional position is to be a servitor. He has to serve either the illusory Maya or the Supreme Lord. Then down a few sentences. When a person is liberated, his illusion is over, and he voluntarily surrenders unto the Supreme to act according to his desires. Next paragraph. The word moha is important in this verse. Moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. The living entity thinks that he is not a servant, but a master of this material world. He wants to lord it over the material nature. That is his illusion. This illusion can be overcome by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of a pure devotee. When that illusion is over, one agrees to act in Krishna consciousness. Last two sentences in the purport. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, which means the demons, doesn't mean that there's a population explosion or something. He agreed to fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took up his weapon, his arrows and bow, to fight on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I like to see it in a poetic, given some poetic license, then I would say that the Gandiva bow represents the jiva's minute independence. And Arjuna is now, because in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, we see he put the bow down. Visrijya sa sharam chapam. Right? He give his chapam, put it down. Visrijya. And now he's picking it up again. So it's a very significant point. Very significant. So this is when the jiva, he raises his minute independence now to again serve the Lord with full conviction and faith. So, and this is the last commentary given by Vishwanath Chakravarti. He says that, I wrote comments for the last five verses, but Lord Ganesh sent a rat who stole the two pages the commentary was written on. So if that is his desire, then kya kare? Then let him have those pages, and I offer my obeisances to Ganesh Ji, and I wish that he may be pleased with me. Yeah. So this is 73 is his last tika in the Gita. But if someone is going to worship Ganesh, then they should pray to Ganesh to return those two pages so all of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas can see what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote in the last five verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So if any of you get darshan of Ganeshji, please see if you can get these two pages back, which was stolen by his representative, some mouse or some rat. So now Sanjaya speaks, and this is the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Now we flash back to Hastinapur. Now we're not on the battlefield any longer. and the blind king is sitting in his chair. And Sanjaya is speaking to him. Sanjaya vacha ityaham vasudevasya partasya cha mahatmanaha samvadam imam aushrausham adhutam ramaharshanam. Sanjaya said, thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, mahatmas, Krishna and Arjuna, Vasudeva and Partha. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. So the word iti again comes. Before it was the end of the Gita Shastra, now it's the end of the Gita itself. In the beginning of the Gita, Dhritarashtra inquired from his secretary Sanjaya what happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And the entire study was related to the heart of Sanjaya by the grace of his Guru Vyas. He thus explained the theme of the battlefield. The conversation was wonderful because such an important conversation between two great souls had never taken place before and would never take place again. It was wonderful because the Supreme Personality of God was speaking about himself and his energies to the living entity Arjuna, a great devotee. If we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna, then our life will be happy and successful. Sanjaya realized this, and as he began to understand it, he related the conversation to Dhritarashtra. Vyasa prasadachrutavan etadguyam aham param yogam yogeshwarad krishnad sakshad katayata swayam. By the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. Vyas was the spiritual master of Sanjaya, and Sanjaya admits that it was by Vyasa's mercy that he could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one has to understand Krishna, not directly, but through the medium of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of disciplic succession. So you're going through the guru, but at the same time, you're getting a direct experience. So it's simultaneously direct and indirect. Vyasa prasada shrutavan. So I've heard this by the mercy of Vyas. So we've also heard this by the mercy of Vyas also. Right? If he didn't, he hadn't written the Gita, we wouldn't know. But here he's saying shakshat katayatasvam, hearing directly. But we also, and Prabhupada explains that hearing from the guru is just as good as hearing it directly from Krishna. And he says, when the spiritual master is bona fide, then one can hear the Bhagavad Gita directly as Arjuna heard it. And he says in the second paragraph, Narada is the direct disciple of Krishna and the spiritual master of Vyas. Therefore, Vyas is as bona fide as Arjuna, because he comes in the disciplic succession, and Sanjaya is the direct disciple of Vyas. Therefore, by the grace of Vyas, Sanjaya's senses were purified, and he could see and hear Krishna directly. One who directly hears Krishna can understand this confidential knowledge. If one does not come to the disciplic succession, he cannot hear Krishna. Therefore, his knowledge is always imperfect, at least as far as understanding Gita is concerned. 76. Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadam imam adbhutam keshavarjunayo punyam rishyami cha muhur muhu. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. Prabhupada writes at the end, the result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. Rishyamicha muhur muhum. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipradam purnamrita svadhanam. Tatcha sangsmritya sangsmritya rupam adyadbhutam harehe vismayo me mahan rajan vrishyami cha puna punaha. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. So you see the words abhuta and vismayo? So these indicate the shantaras which Sanjaya is absorbed in. His Ishtadeva is the Virat or the Visharup. So therefore, he's referring to that wonderful, most dear form of Krishna, to him at least, the Visharup. Prabhupada writes, it appears that Sanjaya also, by the grace of Vyas, could see the universal form Krishna exhibited to Arjuna. It was exhibited to Arjuna only, yet some great devotees could also see the universal form Krishna when it was showed to Arjuna, and Vyas was one of them. Vyas disclosed this to his disciple Sanjaya, who remembered that wonderful form of Krishna exhibited to Arjuna and enjoyed it repeatedly.
Yatra yogeshwara krishno yatra pata danodaraha tatra shri vijayo bhutir dhruva nitir matir mama.
Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So this is the final answer to the first verse of Dhritarashtra's question that Kim Akurvanta Sanjaya, what's happening there on the battlefield? So now the answer is, I'm very sorry, my dear king, but your sons have no chance of winning the battle, because on Yudhisthira's army there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, with the Gandiva bow, which can never be defeated. And driving that chariot is the Supreme Lord, Vasudev, the son of Devaki. And wherever they are, there will certainly be victory, morality, great opulence and power. So Prabhupada also writes, the Bhagavad Gita began with an inquiry of Dhritarashtra. He was hopeful of the victory of his sons, assisted by great warriors like Bhishma, Drona, and Karna. He was hopeful that the victory would be on his side, but after describing the scene on the battlefield, Sanjaya told the king, you are thinking of victory, but my opinion is that where Krishna and Arjuna are present, there will be all good fortune. He directly confirmed that Dhritarashtra could not expect victory for his side. Victory was certain for the side of Arjuna because Krishna was there. Prabhupada writes in the third paragraph, some may protest that Krishna incited Arjuna to fight, which is immoral. But the reality of the situation is clearly stated. Bhagavad Gita is the supreme instruction in morality. The supreme instruction of morality is stated in the ninth chapter, in the 34th verse, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta. One must become a devotee of Krishna, and the essence of all religion is to surrender unto Krishna. Sarvadharma Purityajam Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita constitute the supreme process of religion and morality. All other processes may be purifying and may lead to this process, but the last instruction of the Gita is the last word in all morality and religion. Surrender unto Krishna. This is the verdict of the 18th chapter. Fourth paragraph. From Bhagavad Gita we can understand that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and by meditation is one process, but to fully surrender unto Krishna is the highest perfection. This is the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. The path of regulative principles, according to the orders of social life and according to the different courses of religion, may be a confidential path of knowledge. That's Brahmanishta. But although the rituals of religion are confidential, meditation and cultivation of knowledge are still more confidential. Ishwaranishtha. And surrender unto Krishna in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is the most confidential instruction. That is the essence of the 18th chapter. That's Bhagavad Nishtha. Prabhupada writes, the living entity in his original position is pure spirit. This is the last paragraph. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and the living entities to sunshine. Because the living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna, they have a tendency to be in contact either with the material or with the spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between these two energies of the Lord, and because he belongs to the superior energy, he has a particle of independence. By proper use of that independence, he comes under direct order of Krishna. Thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency, Ladini Shakti. So again, he's talking about the minute independence, the proper use of his minute independence, and it's in the last paragraph of the book. So Arjuna, taking up his Gandiva bow and deciding to fight, represents the living entity, using properly his minute independence and full surrender to Krishna. He reassumes his original position. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is meant for everyone, because everyone is like Arjuna fighting a battle, you know, on the battlefield of life. And there's so many different problems and so many conflicts. And there's a lot of confusion in everyone's life. So if they get these clear instructions, then they can become confident and their illusions will be dispelled, just as Arjuna's illusions were dispelled. Nashta moha smirtir labdha tvat prasad mayachita. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan writes, having obtained the boat of the Lord's desire, I have submerged myself in the sea of Bhagavad Gita, where I have collected many wonderful gems of its purports. Due to my great feelings of joy, I cannot raise myself out of the sea. I only hope that the cunning son of Nanda is pleased with me. I, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, have with great effort compiled this tika named Sri Gita Bhushan. May the saintly devotees correct any faults it contains. They are always eager to taste the sweetness of pure love for Sri Govinda, and their hearts are always melted with compassion. And Baladeva also wrote, those who think Bhagavad Gita was spoken to engage Arjuna in battle are incorrect. The confidential message is to become a devotee. All yogas are only means to purify the heart so that one may come to devotion. The summary is, of the many ways to purify the heart, the best and quickest is to surrender to Krishna. Okay, so we'll stop now. Any last questions? Arjuna agrees to fight, and victory is assured by Sanjay. 67 to 78. Yeah, there's Smaranam in the nine processes. But the gopis, their main seva is them. The most outstanding, prominent feature that their attachment is so strong that they can't stop thinking of Krishna. It kind of like drives them crazy. Even when he goes away, their intensity increases even more. So much that they feel like his presence even when he's gone in separation. So their meditation is so deep, their thinking is so intense that there's no other devotees that can be compared to them. And actually Krishna mentions this to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, but I didn't I'd have to look for him. He almost used the same words, mad manaskaya and something like that. Yeah, it's in the Uddhava Gita. He did. Well, people who chant the verses can do it in about an hour. So it's possible that the conversation took maybe an hour or an hour and a half, something like that. Some people say 45 minutes. And It's hard to say exactly because, I mean, Krishna is, you know, he can stretch the time or shrink it as he likes. I tend to think that he shrank the time because I can't imagine that all of those passionate kshatriyas just patiently waited for him to have this, you know, philosophical discourse in the middle between the two armies. I think for them it must have been shorter. And then Krishna just kind of, within that, whatever, 10 minutes or 15 minutes, he kind of stretched it and made it like this whole conversation. But that's just my intuition about it. I haven't, you know, there's no comments by any acharyas about this particular detail. The action?
Reactions.
I don't remember. I don't recall reading any such reaction. And I don't have a full account of Mahabharata right now. I mean, I have in some place, but I haven't seen them. When they what? Who, the people of this world? Well, that characteristic was ascribed to demons who are heavily influenced by Rajas and Tamas. That's their main thing, as they Prabhupada mentioned four times in one commentary, that the suras, they follow Shastra, and the asuras don't. This is the main, you know, crux or criteria for judging. But I mean, there's people that are in passion that follow Shastra. Doesn't mean that, I mean, kshatriyas, they usually follow Shastra. Because in motive passion, there's many different kinds of people. I mean, you could be ignorant and still follow Shastra. But there's a tendency to not follow in motive ignorance. But if somebody is a Shudra, he could be, like we read, the Shudras from the Bhagavatam, right? They're clean, honest, they're loyal, humble to their master, and all of these things. So we can't ascribe one behavior to the one mode of nature. There's quite a variety, whole gamut of persons and different nishtas. Difference between the two. That's the general idea. I haven't seen anyone else say about the purpose. Yeah, it says I want to know the truth. Yag and of sannyas. Or Rishikesh. Yeah, it's just a way of translating. In the commentary it says, Arjuna wants to clarify the two distinct subject matters of the Gita, Tyag and Sannyas. Thus he's asking the meaning of these two words. I guess the word purpose could have been, you know, truth or meaning. Could have translated in different ways. Yeah. So anyway, I didn't see any other comment about that. We'll stop now. I'll give you some time for studying. You have Pundarik, you have a question? Well, from Sanjaya's point of view. Yeah. Yeah, but even if he is, he doesn't realize it. I mean, it's the one and only time it happened during their lifetime, and on the Earth planet, as far as we know. I mean, in the next day of Brahma, it's going to happen again, and in the last day of Brahma, it happened before. But for us, it's too far time span to say that yes, this happened, you know, so many trillions of years ago. Same conversation took place. And, you know, probably Sanjaya didn't understand that also. But he was realizing the importance of the conversation. That's the idea. I mean, it seems that, like,
Okay, he was just doing it as a service for Dhritarashtra, who was his boss, and he was the servant, you know, the secretary. He was considered like a second Vidura. He was very wise, and he was very much appreciated by Dhritarashtra. And he also drove his he drove you know, the chariot for Dhritarashtra, which wasn't, you know, didn't happen much, but he was more like his secretary. So he did that as a service, and when he was presenting it, you know, he got this vision from Vyas, and so he was seeing everything in his mind's eye and reporting it. But as he was doing that, he was realizing, you know, the importance and the glory of such conversation, that he was seeing it directly. So that at the end of it, he felt, I'm so fortunate that I heard this directly from Krishna. And I saw it directly. Well, because the Gita points towards Bhagavad Bhakti throughout, even from the first, you know, like the second chapter. And we've also heard, like, in the beginning I told the story of Susharma. Right? He became a bull and then got saved by the pious acts of one prostitute. So, you know, this prostitute had heard from this parrot, you know, the first chapter of the Gita. And it said that if someone chants one verse or even half a verse or even one pada, then he'll get the same result as Susharma got. The Narayan was telling to Lakshmi at this point. So it's potent, the whole Bhagavad Gita, every inch of it. But it seems that this it's telling about this confidential secret. So it would indicate that, you know, Purushottam Yoga or Bhagavad Bhakti, surrender to Krishna, that instruction. Because Krishna's God, and therefore he's the personification of all morality and of all Vedic injunctions. Vedaischa sarvam aham eva vedyo. So if someone surrenders to him, then all of the kinds of religions are automatically included. So if someone is preaching like that, that's the highest thing. Generally, when you give some class, even you may speak on some other point, gradually you come to the point describing that devotional service is the ultimate thing, right, of the Gita. So, to me it seems that this message, that this supreme secret is this point. Okay? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki? Krishna Arjuna ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pada ki? Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan ki? Nitya Gaura Premanandi.